Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go.
Hello and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft and couples therapist David Sanford. And we will be boldly going out into the podosphere once more, where no therapists have gone before. Or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of love, life, and the search for a decent relationship. We will be joined once again, and I promise it's going to happen this time, toward the end of the show, by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefer, clinical director of Bayside Neuro Rehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. So here we are, the darn guys together, I don't see, oh, there they are, okay. Got to turn on the mics for my darn guys, and here they are. Hello, David. Hello, Hughes.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning here.
All right.
Here we are. Being darn right.
Here we are.
Darn it.
Darn it, yes. And today we're talking about exhaustion. And I'm exhausted just thinking about it. But I think it's an important topic. And let's start with David. Why don't you kind of outline the subject for us for this morning?
Okay. In the traditional marriage vows, people promise to love each other through sickness and in health and for richer and poorer, meaning, obviously, bad times as well as good. And I'm sure that's in there, partly because, as everybody knows who's been married and gone through hard times, it's the hard times that often put the relationship most in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. So these are difficult times for a great many people, economically and in terms of fear and loss and exhaustion. So for that reason, we're going to devote this session to the problems that often occur in relationships during hard times. Hard times in which two people are exhausted from overwork, or in which a family member is seriously ill, or a home is threatened, a job has been lost, something of that sort. What are the problems that often come down on people at such times, and how can those problems be prevented or solved once they do occur?
Yeah, I think one thing is, you know, some of those problems have to be endured, and there's a question of whether people pull together to solve those problems, or whether they, you know, that brings up tension and difficulty, and that adds to more exhaustion. If you're at odds in terms of how to solve those problems, and you feel like the person isn't pulling with you, or you're pulling alone, or they're pulling in an opposite direction, it can be even more exhausting. I think another thing, you know, to differentiate is the difference between exhaustion and depression.
Yeah.
Sometimes that could be a clinical situation in which one person, for whatever reasons, is depressed, and that, you know, that calls for, you know, some independent treatment of its own. You were going to say, Hughes?
I was just thinking during these periods of time that you guys were just pointing out, these exceptional periods of exhaustion, people can migrate in different directions relative to their needs or their ideas about how to deal with it, and it can lead to more divisiveness, much like you were hinting at, which even makes it even more exhausting having to deal with the relationship into itself as well.
Right. I think also, it has a different impact. You're talking about difficult economic times or losing the house or whatever. I think there are people who have different experiences in the past, especially when you're a kid, of whether you were well off or not well off, or how that was handled in your house, and whether that was something that drove people apart. And you can get real panicky if you see, oh my God, this is what happened when I was a kid, and look what it did to my parents, look what it did to my family, and it seems to be repeating itself. And another person not having that experience may not understand kind of the depth of what that means to their partner. So I think that's difficult.
I wonder if people know how exhausted they are. I wonder if people know how exhausted they are. Much like stress. I don't think a lot of people know how really stressed they are until they go on vacation and then realize that, oh, wow, man, I'm really decompressing. That we, in this culture, the level we're expected to function at, I bet there's a lot of undiagnosed exhaustion, much like undiagnosed depression, possibly. We chronically just keep moving forward and we're tired underneath of it and never really take care of that.
Right, I think that's a really,
Myself, I know when I'm exhausted. One of the several ways in which I can tell when I'm really exhausted is when I can't rise to the occasion. I just can't do it. I mean, for example, if my partner has needs of me, wants me to listen, wants me to be sympathetic, wants me to help out, and I either just can't do it, or I'm so tired that I sort of turn on her in some sense, and we start an argument. Or I can do it, but I can rise to the occasion in some manner, but I do it grudgingly, and I don't. There's no love in it, so to speak. I do it as if I'm being coerced into it. If those conditions are present, then I know something's wrong with me for sure, and it's most likely to be exhaustion. I just, at such a time, it's very hard for me to find the capacity,
Well, it's interesting. I just want to jump in here with the definition of exhaustion, because I looked it up, and one of the definitions of, they break it apart between physical and mental. And one of the definitions of mental exhaustion is a lack of attention. A lack of attention, and just bringing that forth into a couple's discussion, a lack of attention for my partner's needs. Wow.
Yeah. I think, one of the things that we talk about as therapists is something called burnout, because we're there for our clients, or try to be, and that can lead to, a little deprivation and something called burnout. And I think, therapists have paid a lot of attention to that in recent years. And it's an important thing to figure out, like you said, Hughes, to know when you're in danger of burning out. I remember when I first went into private practice, I was really very concerned about, whether I was going to get enough referrals. So I wasn't turning anybody away, and I wasn't sort of managing my time and my practice. And I was up to over 40 hours of clients time a week, and all of a sudden I realized this is going to kill me. That's way too much. And then I learned how to manage that more. So sometimes taking on too much, whether it's taking on too much at work or whether it's taking on too much at home, you got to realize when that's really getting to you, and find some other ways to do it. I think in this society, especially for women, working a job, raising a family. And I think men are catching up, but they haven't caught up completely in all sectors in terms of they've got to pitch in and do their part after work. It used to be that they just went to work, came home, and were taken care of. Now women are working, and they need some taking care of, or at least some sharing of the duties.
Absolutely so. Absolutely so. Would this be a good time to talk, to give some tips on remedies? We're talking about different... I got a few here. Let me give one or two, and then what are your thoughts about them, okay?
Sure.
One is, when one or both people are exhausted, in the broader sense in which we are talking about exhaustion, something that's really important is to lower expectations of what that person can give to you, and do your best to care for yourself. One of the most difficult situations, I think, is when two people are exhausted and both of them, for understandable reasons, need the support of the other and neither one of them have it to give. At a time like that, I think you just got to lower your expectations. You know,
one of the classic examples of that one of the worst examples of that is the death of a child. I think that's so hard on a relationship, and it's unusual when couples can survive that. I think it really speaks volumes to the strength of the relationship if they can survive that, because both partners are in deep grief. They're deeply exhausted from grieving, and it's such a traumatic event that it's very hard for them to support each other, and I think they're really looking to the other for support, and the other one is really depleted also. So, yeah, I think that's very hard.
That must be the worst.
Yeah.
At least the worst that I can imagine.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
So go ahead, David.
Another one. Yeah, here's another one, which you may agree with me or may not. Is that when you can be available as a sympathetic listener to your partner, you talk about your different experiences, the way in which you respond to the challenge that's going on at that moment in different ways. And you do so hearing your partner out without criticism, but with understanding, and also without giving advice unless you've been asked for it. One of the things I think that really undermines relationship is if one person expresses a fear which the other person doesn't happen to share, and the person who doesn't feel fear around this particular issue ridicules or criticizes or becomes a cheerleader and gives gratuitous advice that hasn't been asked for at all.
I think those are good tips. Yeah, I think those are good tips, even if you're not exhausted.
Yeah. And I was thinking, getting tangled up like we do sometimes in those moments, David, that it can lead to more exhaustion, because then it becomes about, something else as well as what the initial issue was. So it can lead to more exhaustion. So that's a good preventive one, I think, minimizing exhaustion.
Yeah.
I think let me jump into the tip. I think that one of the things that you need to be sensitive to is how tired or how exhausted or how overwhelmed your partner is, and at different times with different things, pick up their slack. You know, if they've got a certain responsibility, and you're used to relying on them for that responsibility, but you see that, they're really struggling with something, or they've had an extra hard day, or, they've got a whole bunch of things on their plate, that you say, I'll take over that for now, and you pick up their slack. Like, for instance, you'll cook dinner for them, or, you'll do some chore for them that they normally would do and you tend to rely on. So that's one of the tips from me. Go ahead, Dave.
In any of these tips that we're talking about so far, I think one is probably going to have to confront a sort of infantile kind of assumption, which comes up at moments of exhaustion, and that is you're supposed to carry my load. You're supposed to make it better for me. You're supposed to take care of me.
Hmm.
It's, you know, there's a hard lesson in this, which is basically I've got to be with you as a loving partner, but fundamentally I got to be responsible for my own needs. Mm-hmm. Because I can't expect you always to be able to provide them or even to care to provide them. Right. The marriage doesn't work as if it's such a conditional relationship that I'm only going to give to you if you sort of proven your value by giving to me as much as I expect you to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, a healthy relationship has a flow of those things. An unhealthy relationship is where you get stuck in those patterns or get stuck in those roles. Eric Byrne was popular a number of years ago. It was something called transactional analysis, and he divided the psyche up into parent, adult, and child. And he said that a healthy relationship is when people could switch those roles, in a fluid manner. In other words, somebody could be a parent and take care of somebody at one moment, could be a child and be taken care of at one moment, could be the adult at another moment. And if you got stuck in any one of those roles, if you were always the adult who was very rational and reasonable, you couldn't have fun like a child, or you couldn't, you know, sort of take charge and be the caretaker. The situation, the relationship, was not as productive, not as healthy.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, yes. I was only half listening.
You were?
I was thinking about something I wanted to say. I was being self-centered. I realized at the end of what you said, as useful as it no doubt was, I had only been half listening to it.
It was the gem of the show.
I don't mind if you don't go along. Why don't you just say it again, man?
No. You'll have to listen to the archive of the pod show.
I just felt like being honest, you know.
That's very good. No, I
was saying nothing at all.
As
so you're telling us you fell asleep?
Yeah.
No, I had written down some tips, and I was kind of, I had a bunch of them here, and I was trying to find my place on my tips, so I could give the next one, and I was inattentive.
Right. Well, terribly I take some responsibility because I did interrupt you in your tip giving.
Well, I didn't want it to be like a recitation, you know. I mean, it's a long while, okay.
Well, I was trying to help you that way, and obviously you couldn't handle it.
Well, you're being so caring, as you often are.
Yes, I am.
Rescue.
Have you found your place yet, David?
I'm going to rescue you guys now. I'm going to rescue you guys. I'm going to rescue you guys.
All right.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about love. I know that's what it's about. But we're going to keep talking about exhaustion. You know, one thing, we may want to revisit this thing about exhaustion, because one thing we're not talking about, we're talking about exhaustion due to kind of living, money, and the stress, and the kids, and the work, and all that other stuff. But we're really just scratching the surface here, too, because there's other types of exhaustion, too. Just, I'm tired of my mate. I'm tired of looking at him. I'm tired of the same routine over and over. I'm tired of the same sexual positions. I'm tired of... You know, maybe we can come back to that as another show, because I think we...
Yeah, I don't have any tips for that one.
No, but
I don't have any tips ready for
that. No, we're going to need a week or two to get some together, but I found a study around exhaustion, and it was directed towards physicians, and I guess they were doing interviews with them around different levels of exhaustion. And they found that the physicians who have the least amount of exhaustion report a high correlation with work satisfaction, social prestige, professional relationships, and health initiatives. And I think it kind of dovetails into what you were just saying, David, about taking care of oneself along the way and bringing to the relationship someone who takes care of their own needs or kind of has stuff outside the relationship to help kind of maintain one's health, one's level of energy, things like that, to bring that to the relationship.
So it lessens the burden on the other person to care for you, right?
Well put.
Burden if your life is rich in many ways itself.
Yeah, and support our partner's life of richness and fullness too, so they can come to the relationship not as exhausted and burdened by the day-to-day stuff.
Sure.
Right.
And some people have the option of that, and some people don't. Some people are stuck in unrewarding jobs, and the reality of it is they got to go to work every day. I think, you can have a change of attitude, and, if there's more acceptance of this is what I have to do, and I will do the best I can in it, and I will appreciate the fact that that this is my, this is my job, this is my portion for right now. You can have a better sense of purpose and being able to not exhaust yourself and burn yourself out than you can if you focus on, oh man, I got to go to this job, it's a crummy job.
Yes.
Etc.
That's a beautiful segue into my next tip.
Okay.
Okay. We got room for one more tip.
One more tip, and then we're going to go to Mark. But one more tip.
Okay. I'll try to do it rapidly. This one requires that you think of a series of concentric circles, right? One inside the other, and call them control circles. At the innermost circle, you have those things in your life which you can reasonably expect are under your control and will continue to be so at least for the moment. For example, breathing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I'm breathing. I can, when I'm in distress, I can turn to my breathing. I can do diaphragmatic breathing. I can calm myself down through my breathing. So that's the innermost circle. The outermost circle are things that are important to you where you have the least amount of control. And at difficult times, when you have lost control over something important to you that's at an outer circle, so to speak, or that you can put it in an outer circle, like your boss has called you into the office and said that there is a short list of people who are going to be dismissed, and we're seriously considering adding your name to it. In that case, in order to psychologically survive, I say you have to, as much as you possibly can, withdraw attention from that circle, so to speak, and bring it into those aspects of your life that you can turn to for support and benefit that you have some control over, right?
Right.
I don't know, that may be your relationship with the dog. It may be the beauty of a fall day. Whatever it is, you've got to ground yourself on that. Or the matter that you don't have control over is going to be in danger of sweeping you away.
You know what it reminds me of is the AA prayer, Alcoholics Anonymous prayer, let me, deal with the things that I have control of and accept the things that I don't have control of and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think that can be very powerful in your life if you can do that well. So let's go now to somebody who always does it well, Dr. Mark Kiefner.
Feeling already.
There's so many things it would be wrong to say right now.
What a setup that was.
So that
was
really crazy. I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot pole. Oh, my God. So I would touch with a 10-foot pole? I don't know. Maybe a... So the topic today is exhaustion in relationships. Is that right?
Yeah.
I was stuck in a meeting that was exhausting. I just left and got So sorry about that. I just heard the last little bit of what David was saying, and again, it sort of brings me back to the thought I've expressed before about the role of attention in our experience. And that what we attend to tends to be what we experience. And so if we are focused on a sense of exhaustion or a sense of being depleted or a sense of tiredness in our relationship, and that becomes our world, that experience grows and grows and grows. I know we were talking two times ago, about the role of novelty in kind of replenishing a relationship. And so I think that there is a role for figuring out how to switch your attention to something more novel, which tends to sort of remove a feeling of exhaustion, but also to find a way to replenish your reservoir of energy. I'm sure you guys must have some thoughts about, as David was just doing, some thoughts about how do you replenish your reservoir that's been depleted. And I'm leaving that to you guys to sort of come in there.
Oh yeah, I think that's excellent. I think we did touch on that a little bit, but not enough in terms of how do you get your energy back? How do you, as you say, replenish yourself? You know, is it through something novel, like we're talking about a vacation? Sometimes that's the first time you notice how tired and depleted you are. What do you do that's fun? Do you get enough rest? Are you eating well? Are you getting enough exercise? All of those things can help you. The irony of exercise is you think it's hard work, but you actually feel more refreshed after you finish.
Yeah, for sure. And just building upon what Mark said, I think a great deal of it has to do with attention and controlling attention and using choice to in a variety of different ways to direct attention. One, for example, is to kind of do an inventory of what it is that you typically experience in a day or in a week, which brings you down, depletes your energy.
Right.
And along with that, what you find in inventorying during a day or a week that restores you,
right,
that lifts your energy. For
right.
example, music
no,
always
not for example,
lifts my
David,
energy.
David, I'm going to have to let Hughes have the last word, and then we got to go away.
We're going to go away. We're just going to disappear into the darn sky atmosphere. I just want to make a plot for recreation. Break it down. We recreate a connection with ourselves. And we talked last week about novelty being passionate, creative, art, exercise. I think that has a lot to do with it. So maybe a recreate a connection with oneself, discovery in a passionate, desirable way to find energy.
Excellent idea.
Last thought, and now Megan Jo Wilson is going to take us away. Thank you guys for a great show, and see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No.